done, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Let us attend. The Lord said to his disciples, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God coming in power." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory
to God forever. So along about now at the third Sunday of Great Lent, my body recovers from the shock of denying myself the foods that I was accustomed to eating before. And in the recovery from the shock, it now begins to rebel against my resolve to keep the fast. But is not the fast in this uncovering the law of sin that is in my members? In other words, from my own experience with the fast, I can see how covetousness, that is to say idolatry, self-will, self-love, enmity, this carnal mind of mine that is against God and cannot subject itself to God, I begin to see how all of this, this law of sin, has become embodied in me, incarnate in me. It's in my members. And it expresses itself primarily as gluttony and lust. These in turn are served by greed, or the love of money. Because it's with money that I can satisfy my gluttony and my lust. St. Paul teaches that it is not me as me who is against God. I myself am in the image of God. Rather, it is this covetousness that has taken hold of me because I gave myself to it, that has taken me away from myself and has sent me against God, and so against myself and my true nature. The story of Eve in the garden teaches us that this covetousness, or this self-love, comes to life, as St. Paul says in Romans 7, when I stop listening to God and listen to the voice of the serpent, often masking itself behind the voice of the wisdom of my own opinions. When I receive the word of the serpent, it joins with my disobedience and begins immediately, as St. Paul writes in Romans 7, begins immediately to work in me. It begins to work in me and to build this little homunculus. You know what a homunculus is? It's a little man, like a gnome, a little dwarf. This little homunculus of desire that builds in me until I must express it and give birth to it in the concrete physical act of gluttony and lust and or greed. We begin to see why we must fast to be healed and delivered from sin. sin is embodied in us. It is in our members. To be saved, I must discipline my body. I must choose to obey Christ. And he commands me to take up my cross and to follow him. The cross is given to us in the ascetic disciplines of the church, specifically the Lenten fast, which is called in the Lenten Triodion the flower of abstinence that grows from the tree of the cross. To lay hold of my will, by which I chose to go after the forbidden tree. To lay hold of my will, you understand, I must discipline my body, because it's in my body that the covetousness of my will, this covetousness that has corrupted my will, has become incarnate as the very principle, albeit an alien principle, of the life or of the soul of my flesh and blood. St. Paul writes, we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. How has the Lord passed into the heavens? By the cross. And what is the throne of grace we are called to draw near to? It's the holy cross of Christ. Taking up the fasting and the prayer, the cross of the church, in obedience to the church. In other words, I take up the fast, the disciplines of the church, not following my own counsel. For if I follow my own counsel, I'm just reviving the disobedience of my self-will again. So I take up the fast in obedience to the church. I follow the church's guidance, and I follow her counsel, her direction. And when I do, this is how I draw near the cross of Christ, the throne of grace, that I may pass into the heavens in union with Christ. By means of the cross, the ascetic disciplines of the church, this is how I deny myself, in order to unite myself to Christ on his cross. This is how I put to death what is earthly in me, my self-will, and its disobedience that has become embodied in my members, that I may descend with Christ into the tomb of my soul, into my heart, there to become one with Christ in the likeness of his death. To fast, then, without prayer, is not to unite myself to Christ in the tomb of my heart. And to pray without fasting is not to put to death what is earthly in me. I am not following Christ or denying myself for the sake of Christ. The fast then becomes for me but an exercise in self-righteous pride, and instead of saving my soul, I destroy her. The prokimena for this Sunday of the cross are taken, the one from Psalm 27, the other from Psalm 73. In those psalms, we read, be not silent to me, lest I become like sinners who go down to the pit. I lift up my hands toward the high holy temple. That's what we hear in the one prokimena. They have profaned the temple, the skinomata, which is the same word as tent or temple or tabernacle. They have profaned the temple of thy name, says the other in the Alleluia verse. Yet God is our King of old. He has worked salvation in the midst of the earth, and it's fascinating to observe. He has worked. It's the same word that St. Paul uses in Romans 7, where sin works in me to build up this desire that destroys me. Christ works in me to build up the salvation that saves me. The Lord said to the Jews, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The St. John tells us that he was speaking of the temple of his body. So before the cross, we stand at the footstool of the throne of grace of the temple of Christ's body. This is the temple that is the greater temple, the perfected temple, as St. Paul says in Hebrews. The temple that was not made with hands. And so it is not of this creation, because it was fashioned by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the ever-Virgin Mary. And St. Paul says to us, he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And that the Holy Spirit, by virtue of your baptism, dwells in you? Now the temple is the center of creation. In the temple sanctuary, earth opens onto heaven. Man opens onto God. Time opens onto eternity. And so here, in the Orthodox worship of St. Hermann's at the corner of 54th and 38th, when we bow before the cross of Christ in worship, we are in the church. But if we are in the church, we are in the body of Christ. And therefore, we are in the temple of God. And therefore, we are mystically in the sanctuary of our heart that is beyond all things. Here in the temple of our heart, then, if we would but deny ourselves and obey the command to put to death what is earthly in us, we would hear that God is with us. He who became like us when he became flesh has become one with us in his death on the cross. He who is himself the resurrection and the life is buried in the tomb of our heart. When we cry out to him from out of the depths, when we beseech him to save us, lest we be like those sinners who go down to the pit, lo, he's not up there and he's not out there. He is here in the pit with us. He's in our midst, here in the darkness of the shadow of death. And he has made this to be the footstool of his temple. And here in the footstool of his temple, in the midst of the earth, in the midst of hell, in the midst of my body, he is working salvation for me. We came into Great Lent, beholding with the myrrh-bearing women how his body was laid in the tomb. This was the gospel that we read on Cheese Fair Thursday, just before we came into Great Lent. There it says that the myrrh-bearing women, they saw, they beheld how his body was laid in the tomb. St. John says, God is love. St. Paul says, while we were yet sinners, in his great love for us, Christ died for us. Though he was of one essence with the Father, in obedience to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ emptied himself. He denied himself. And he set up his temple. He became flesh. He set up his temple, his skini. He set up his temple among us, his body. And he was obedient even to the point of death on the cross, so that all who believe in him, in other words, all those who deny themselves for his sake, who take up their cross to follow him, that they might be saved. In other words, the manner in which Christ's body was laid in the tomb was the manner of his divine love for us. His death on the cross and his burial in the tomb, these are the mighty acts of God that embody, that make incarnate his love for mankind. And this is why we call him the greatly compassionate one. This is what the myrrh-bearing women saw. This is what we see when we behold how his body was laid in the tomb. It was laid in his great love for us. Behold how the movement of the Lord in his incarnation was the self-denying movement of his love for mankind, perfected by his death on the cross and his burial. For by his death on the cross and by his burial, he was no longer just like us.
You understand, when he was born of the Virgin, he was like us, because he was flesh and blood like us. But when he suffered death on the cross and was buried in the tomb, he became one with us. And if the Lord is the image of God in whom we were made, would it not reveal a deep, deep mystery of our being? That what we now experience as death is the corruption of the original movement of love in which the world and man were created. In other words, the soul of man, created by God to exist in her heart beyond all things, was created, if you will, in an exodus. She was created to move outside of herself, out of herself, in love, to deny herself, to give herself to, and to become one with the Lord Jesus Christ, her beloved heavenly bridegroom. You see, this was the very principle of our being. So when the Lord says, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross, he's saying nothing, he's doing nothing more than to reveal to us what is the very principle of our being. This is how we become who we really are. Denying ourselves for the sake of Christ, in love for Christ. Coming out of ourselves and pouring our heart into the love of Christ. Now it says that when they laid his body in the tomb, it says that the light of the Sabbath was beginning to dawn. It doesn't say that in many of your English translations, but the Greek, epiphoskin, epiphos, phos, phos. You hear the word phos, you know, from like photosynthesis. It's the same word. The light of the Sabbath was beginning to dawn. It was beginning to come up as soon as they buried him in the tomb. This is not speaking of Saturday morning, because it is Friday evening when they lay his body in the tomb. The sun is setting. It's not rising. No, it's talking about the light of the great and holy Sabbath of God's rest, God's death. It's talking about the light of the resurrection, the light of God's love dawning already on those who sat in darkness, in which he finished his creation of the world on the cross. The Lord's call then to deny ourselves and to take up our cross and to lose our life is but his command to be raised up into the love of God, to enter into his temple and to offer on the altar of the temple of our heart the sacrifice of praise, of love for the God who first loved us, who created us. And when he saw that we had fallen, he did not cease to do all things until he had raised us up to heaven. I think this is why the saints experience death as a sweetness, truthy. I'm not sure if the word trifle comes from that Greek word truthy. And a trifle, you know, is a very sweet candy. And they serve it all over the place on Mount Athos. It's like a delicacy on Mount Athos. And I would suggest, and I'm speaking to me, of course, what the Lenten fast also should be experienced as a sweetness. Because we are dying in Christ. We are learning to love Christ. We're coming out of ourselves in love, in the love of Christ, and discovering ourselves as beloved of Christ and as lovers of Christ. For by the cross, the bitterness of death is destroyed. By the fast, the bitterness of death is destroyed, because the fast is the cross. And death itself is transfigured into the sweetness of the heart denying herself in the desire to give herself wholly in love to her heavenly bridegroom. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.